It is a pleasure to be with you this morning as we've gathered together to make much of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. He came not to just stay in a manger. He came. He was born this virgin birth. He was a teenager. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He was buried for our sins. He resurrected from the grave. He's ascended into heaven, and he is at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding on our behalf. So we don't serve a Savior in a manger. We serve a risen Lord and Savior. And for that, we are thankful. And for that, we are excited about this season, right? Not only that Jesus came, but Jesus died. And Jesus is with us. So with that said, if you're a guest, welcome. For those of you listening online, thank you for being with us as we're going to dive into the Word of God together. I just want to thank you guys for praying for my family. As my wife, she was struggling with COVID-19. She has recovered. I was tested negative. My son Silas was tested negative. Thank God for that. And look, we know that there are many people who are dying because of this. So we don't take this lightly. We know that our Lord and Savior was faithful to us, and we pray that He'll continue to be faithful to others. So let's continue to pray for people who are struggling with this. So with that said, please stand out of reverence to God's holy and righteous Word. And we will be in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me.' For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the right hand of the Father's side. He has made Him known." Praise God for His Word. Join me as we pray together. Father, I just pray that You speak to our hearts, that You open our minds to understand the true meaning of Christmas. Why do we celebrate this season, this time? Although Your Son wasn't born on December 25th, nevertheless, God, it's a good season for us to remember the birth of Christ, to make much of Jesus. But I pray that we are not just romanticizing the birth of Christ, romanticizing the fact that He was in a manger, but God, we celebrate the fact that He came, He was born to die. And because of that, we have life. So we celebrate Jesus Christ in everything we do and say, in Your mighty and precious name. God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. The title of today's sermon is The True Meaning of Christmas. The True Meaning of Christmas. An American atheist, they've launched a new billboard in New York Times Square. And they basically title it on the billboard. They have this title, "Nobody Needs Christ During Christmas." Nobody needs Christ during Christmas. Their target is for people like you who are probably coming to church and you want to make much of Jesus. And they're saying to you, keep Christ out of Christmas. As a matter of fact, the president of the American Atheist, David Silverman, stated this. This is what he said. "The season is a great time of the year for hundreds of reasons, none of them having to do with religion or Christ. This year, start a new tradition. Don't go to church. You hate it. It is boring. You probably only go because you feel guilty or obligated. Instead, spend your time with your family and friends or volunteer. There are better uses of your time and money." This is what he's saying. And people are listening to this. Hundreds of people are listening to this. Millions of people are listening to this. And there are many things wrong with this. One particularly is that his comment is basically directed against the humanity of Jesus and the divinity of Jesus, as if Jesus was just a good prophet. This man doesn't believe that Jesus is fully God. Thus, he is an atheist. But we who attend church to make much of the birth of Jesus, we know without a doubt he was fully human and he is fully God. So we are not here to celebrate just a prophet like Muhammad. We're not here to celebrate someone like Buddha who is still in the grave, or Confucius. We are here to celebrate the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So as we look at this man's comments, we realize it is false. And it's an attack against the divinity of Jesus and the humanity of Jesus. This is why I like Scripture. You see, Scripture's aim is to help us understand more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And John's gospel, his point, his aim, is to show you that Jesus was fully human and fully God. This is his aim. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 20, verse 31, notice very carefully what John mentioned. But these things are written to you so that you may believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the purpose of the Gospel of John. Christ alludes more to Jesus' humanity. As a matter of fact, the title Christ is mentioned 19 times in the Gospel of John. It means the anointed one or the Messiah. And it alludes to his humanity. The title, which is Son of God, is mentioned over 7 times in the Gospel of John. It alludes to Jesus' divinity, the fact that he is God. So again, we notice in John chapter 20, verse 31, John tells us the purpose of his book is that we would know that Jesus is fully human. He's the Christ. Jesus is fully God. He is the Son of God. And so that we may have life. Today, I want us to observe 3 elements about Jesus' incarnation. Friends, come in closer and listen to me very carefully. I know in this season, perhaps you are stressed. Christmas is this Friday. And you have to buy gifts upon gifts upon gifts. Maybe you're like me, you wait at the last moment to buy something. And you are probably stressed. Maybe you're stressed because you have no finances at all. Maybe you're stressed because you can't get together with your family because of COVID-19. In this very season, do not forget the reason why we celebrate Christmas is not about gifts, although gifts are good. It's not even about getting with your family, although that's really good too. The most important reason for celebrating Christmas is Jesus. So do you know Jesus? Do you understand of the incarnation of Jesus? Do you understand of his full humanity and his full divinity? Are you worshiping Jesus in this time? That's what it's about. It's about Jesus. So 3 points I want you to observe. 1 is Jesus revealed his radiant glory in his incarnation. 2, Jesus brought to us grace and truth in his incarnation. And 3, Jesus made known to us the Father's will in his incarnation. So my prayer is you're ready so we can dive within the Word of God to understand more about this great Savior, his full humanity and his full divinity. So notice will be the first point. Jesus revealed to us his radiant glory in his incarnation. Notice for yourself in verse 14 that John begins by stating what the Word became, right? See for yourself in verse 14. He mentions here, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In John chapter 1, verse 1, he mentioned above that the Word was God, the Word was with God. And here he's saying something else, that the Word became flesh. So God became flesh. Now, come in closer and don't miss this. The verb became is in connection with the predicative noun, which is expressed here, right? Flesh. The Word became flesh. And what John wants you to understand in the Greek language altogether is that that word became basically means it becomes something that it was not. It enters into a new property.
a new substance. A perfect example of that is H2O, right? H2O, when you put it in the refrigerator, the freezer, it turns into ice. So here is water, liquid, that turns into ice. It becomes something else. And here, this is what John wants you to observe about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ always existed. Before the foundation of the world, he existed. We get this in Philippians chapter 2 when Paul mentioned that Jesus, although he was in the form of God, emptied himself and became in the form of a servant. The word form in the original language is where we get our word scheme from. It's the word schema. So it's the word scheme. And here, John wants you to observe that Jesus became something great here, right? He was in the form of God, in the presence of the Father. He came to this earth and he became flesh and lived among us. The word schema also gives you an idea of something that changes. In other words, that Jesus goes through our normal cycle of life. Get this. Here is fully God in heaven, in the presence of the Father. Here he is, and here he is coming down upon this earth. He took the form of flesh here. And the word flesh gives you the idea of Jesus going through the normal human cycle. So, in other words, follow me very carefully, and Scripture gives us this. When you think about human cycle, you think about pregnancy, you think about birth, you think about preteen, you think about teenager, you think about an adult, and you think about a senior, right? In the same way, we can identify that in the life of Jesus, that Jesus was born. First of all, you have Mary, where she was pregnant with this Jesus. She gave birth to Jesus. We notice as well in Scripture, when the wise man went to Jesus, Jesus was a toddler. He wasn't a baby. So usually we find that the wise man, and here's a wise man bringing gift to Jesus, and Jesus is wrapped in swaddling cloth, as we would think, and he's in the manger. No, when the wise man went to Jesus, he was a toddler. The word child in the original language gives us a picture of a mature child, not an infant necessarily. So Scripture tells us that he was a toddler, from baby to a toddler. Luke's gospel tells us that Jesus was 12 years old. He gives us a picture of Jesus being 12, where Jesus walked into the temple, right? Teaching people at the age of 12. And then the next time we hear of Jesus is at his baptism, right? And Jesus is a grown man. He's about 30 years old. He goes through the natural human cycle. So John here wants you to see this. He is fully human. He experienced all the stuff that you experience as a teenager. For preteens, for those of you who are experiencing pimples, perhaps Jesus experienced that too. All the different puberty issues that you struggle with, he struggled with it too. You must get this. This Lord and Savior was fully human. And here, John's language here is very precise. John wants you to see that Jesus was fully human. So friends, how can we appropriately, how can we properly worship Jesus by making much of his humanity? This is why the author of Hebrews says that he had to become like us in every way so that he would become the sympathetic high priest. Do not just make much of Jesus' deity without making much of his humanity. Every pain that you are feeling in this world, he felt it because he was fully human. Every pain. That's why he can sympathize with us. So therefore, how can we properly worship him? Oh, Jesus, I thank you that you understand my pain. You are not a God that is so transcendent that you don't understand my pain. No, you have walked my pain. And for that, I worship you. For that, I have gathered this morning to thank you, to bless you, to make much of you. So we do this, again, properly worshiping Jesus by recognizing his birth. recognizing his virgin birth, recognizing he's no longer in the manger, recognizing he grew and he died for our sins. That's what we must recognize. But notice another way we can do this. Notice what John tells us here. That here he mentions in the text that Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. I love this word, dwelt here. This is an Old Testament word, dwelt. And when you read through the Old Testament, especially the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, when that word is mentioned, it's always in connection with God's Shekinah glory being with his people. And this is the picture that John wants you to understand here. The word dwelt literally means to pitch one's tent. And in the Old Testament, is an expression of one who tabernacles among us. And this should remind us that God himself tabernacled among us in the presence of Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, it mentions this, "And let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst." And this is Jesus here. John is saying no longer do we need this physical tent or tabernacle. Jesus has become this tabernacle for us. Friends, come in closer and write this down. Come in closer and write this down. Friends, Jesus has become a tabernacle where God dwells with us and a tent where God speaks to us. Do you get this? This is why he is the true meaning of Christmas. He is a tabernacle where God dwells with us, Emmanuel. He is a tent where God speaks to us. No wonder the author of Hebrews mentioned this specifically. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. "But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed as heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." Come in closer and write this down. As Jesus gives life and is life, raises the dead and is the resurrection, gives bread and is bread, speaks truth and is truth, even so he speaks the Word and is the Word. This is the Savior we worship. This is how they describe Jesus in Scripture. He is life. He is the bread. He is the way. He is the truth. And therefore, we worship our Lord and Savior. Notice what else he mentions here. That we have seen his glory. Do you see it in your own Bibles? In verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, and we have seen his glory." Now, I want you to pay attention very carefully here. John, again, is writing Scripture, but you must understand, as he's writing the New Testament, John has something before him, which is the Old Testament. The Old Testament was before the New Testament, so that's all he had, the Old Testament. And here, John is perhaps, I believe here, he is meditating deeply upon Exodus chapter 33, the entire chapter. And if you put Exodus chapter 33 right next to John chapter 1 verses 14 through 18, you will see a lot of similarities, how they parallel each other. As a matter of fact, I want you to see this yourself. I have a PowerPoint for you to see. Let's notice the comparisons and contrast here. In Exodus chapter 33 verse 7, the author mentions that Moses took the tent. He took the tent and put it outside of the camp. In John chapter 1, verse 14, John mentions that Jesus became that tent. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 10, the author mentions that all the people saw the pillar of cloud. In John 1, 14, John mentions that we beheld his glory. The pillar of cloud is the Shekinah glory of God. That's how it's described in the Old Testament. And here, this is exactly what John is saying. Jesus' Shekinah glory. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, the author mentions that God spoke to Moses. In John 1, 14, he mentions that God spoke the law through Moses. However, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, God says to Moses, "You cannot see my face." In John chapter 1, verse 18, John mentions, "No one has ever seen God." In Exodus chapter 33, verse 23, a manifestation of God was revealed to Moses by showing Moses his back. So God showed Moses his back. Moses says, "Lord, I want to see you." God says, "If you see my face, you will die. But Moses, you know what? I will show you my back." In John chapter 1, verse 18, a manifestation of the Father is revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Do you see the parallelism? So as we notice here, John is thinking deeply about Exodus chapter 33. And then he makes the connection here and he says, "This is my Lord Jesus, how he has fulfilled all of this for us." But what about his glory here? That we have seen his glory. The word glory here gives us a great picture of the manifestation of God himself, the presence, the power of God himself. And throughout the Gospel of John, John has been sharing with us how Jesus is giving glimpse of his glory. For example, when he uses the word light, that light is the glory of the sun. And throughout the Gospel of John, he has mentioned over and over how people saw the light of Jesus. For example, in John chapter 2, verse 11, "This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee in the manifestation and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." You see, throughout the gospel, Jesus is manifesting his glory. This is why John says, "We have seen his glory." When Lazarus was sick, we notice in John chapter 11, notice what Jesus mentioned. He says, "But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'The illness does not lead to death. For it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" When Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the grave, his glory was revealed to the people. And friends, the disciples got a foretaste of his glory again at the transfiguration, when Jesus shined so brightly. And they also got a foretaste of his glory at his death. But his glory is even more now that he is resurrected and ascended and ruling on high. Friends, you have a great Lord and Savior interceding on your behalf in full glory. In Scripture, it mentions when he was on this earth, he emptied his glory. So the glory that people saw was just a foretaste of his great glory. He emptied his glory to come on this earth, to perform signs, to do all kinds of stuff. And yet, Jesus is in full glory as we speak today. That's the Savior you serve. That's the Messiah. That's the Son of God. Notice with me the second point. Jesus brought to us grace and truth in his incarnation. He brought to us grace and truth in his incarnation. See with me very carefully what else the text mentions here. It says here in verse 14, "Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace." Focus on the word "only" here. In the original language, this word "only" basically means unique. He is the unique Son of the Father. No one else has this title but Jesus. Do you get it? Yes, God is our Father, but that title, Son of God, here is very unique to only Jesus. That title gives us a picture of his divinity, of his divinity. No other is or can be the Son of God as Jesus is. And that's great news for us today. Now, see with me very carefully, in Exodus chapter 33, Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory. And God's glory came through grace and mercy. See for yourself in Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 through 19. And Moses says, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, notice what happened when God's glory was revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 34. Notice very carefully. See for yourself. This is important because to understand what John is saying, we must understand how Moses experienced this, right? Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 6. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God of merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And saints, we see that Jesus came in the flesh and he revealed his glory. He came to give grace and truth, two of the most essential elements of the gospel news today. Do you see the similarity? And when Jesus revealed himself, there's grace and truth and mercy. So this is why we must trust in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is truth. Now see for yourself, I love this, as we observe through Scripture about truth, we see for ourselves when Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman. What did Jesus say to the Samaritan woman? God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Truth is God's word, as he mentions in John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So can I ask you a question here? Come in closer. As we are learning about the incarnate Christ, who says that he is truth, what truth are you following? What are you following? What the world says, or what the word says? Do you follow what this atheist man mentioned? Where he says, don't go to church. Don't take Christ out of Christmas. Do you follow the philosophies of this world? The theologies of this world? The ideologies of this world? Or do you follow what Scripture says? And Scripture tells us that Jesus is truth, fully human and fully divine. So saints, come in closer, and I want you to get this. Write this down if you can. Because of what John mentions here, we can find, listen very carefully, we can find every spiritual reality we need in Jesus. We can find every spiritual reality that we need in Jesus. He embodies all of God's power, wisdom, mercy, and love. He feels everything in every way. That's our Lord. This is the purpose here. What is the application of this theology that is the incarnation of Christ? This is exactly what it is. He feels everything in every way. And for that, we must trust him. Nothing can deplete Christ. Nothing can deplete Christ. No matter how much the believer receives of him, he keeps on giving. His strength is not diminished by helping us. Believers do not need to seek any other source of spiritual power but Christ and only Christ. This is exactly what Paul realized in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And Paul felt very depleted. He sought the Lord three times. And this is what he mentions. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell upon me. This is the application here for you. Renewed grace because of the fullness of Christ. Do you trust him this morning? Is your hope in him this morning?
Are you celebrating him this morning? You should, because of this great passage. Notice with me the final point here. The final point here. Jesus made known to us the Father's will in his incarnation. See for yourself in verse 18 of chapter 1. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, and he has made him known. This word known here is where we get our English word exegesis from. Exegesis is expounding on a particular text. It's revealing the true meaning of something. Here, it tells us that only Jesus can reveal who God is. In other words, coming closer, there is only one door to heaven, one way to heaven. Only Jesus can reveal to you who God truly is. Your meditation apart away from Christianity is not going to reveal who Jesus is. Any other religion is not going to reveal who Jesus is, who God is. But only the Son can reveal who the Father is. Do you get this? Come in closer and grab hold of this. Some people would say, well, Christianity is so wrong because it's saying all other religions cannot, it's not leading to God, it's not leading to heaven. But it's right, it's true to say that. There is only one faith that can lead you to the Father, can lead you to heaven, and it's through Jesus. So this morning, if you're thinking, well, I can make it to heaven by believing in this particular religion, by believing in this faith. No, you cannot. I'm pleading with you. You cannot. It's only through Jesus Christ. And only Jesus can reveal the Father to you. Did he not say the same thing to Philip in John chapter 14, verses 8 through 9, when he mentions to Philip, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that is enough for us. And Jesus says to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus reveals to us the Father. I like what John Calvin mentions here. Listen very carefully. When he says that none has seen God, it is not to be understood of our outward seeing of physical eye. He means generally that since God dwells in inaccessible light, he cannot be known except in Christ. His lively image. Only the Son, who is himself God, can communicate his glory to us. Isn't that true? And that's exactly what John is saying here in verse 18. In closing, come in closer and get this. Why are you here this morning? When you go home, you buy gifts, you place it under the Christmas tree, you're exhausted, you're stressed perhaps, do you think of Jesus? Do you think of the true meaning of Christmas? Are you worshiping Jesus? Are you thanking Jesus for his birth? I pray to God that you're just not romanticizing the fact that he is in a manger. Oh, cute Jesus. No. He's a grown man. He grew up. And he died on the cross for your sins. How are you worshiping this Savior in this season? This is how you can. This is how you can. Think of his humanity. Everything he endured. Think of his divinity, that he is fully God. Think of his death on the cross. Think of the salvation that he has given to you. Think of the fact that he dwelt among men. He emptied himself. Think also that he is going to return for you one day. The question is, do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Do you? Have you repented of your sins? Have you trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior? If you have not, turn to him. Trust in Him and know that He will give you grace and mercy in difficult times. Let's pray together. Father, Your word is so good to our souls. I thank You for the wisdom of John. I thank You for the Spirit that is working, was working mightily in the Apostle John as he is writing John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. He is thinking deeply about Exodus chapter 33. And he's seeing Jesus in Exodus 33. Thank You so much for Scripture. Thank You that we don't have to listen to the ideologies of people like David Silverman, who tells us not to worship Christ, keep Christ out of Christmas. No, we will not do this, David. The only reason there is Christmas is because of Jesus. So therefore, God, I pray that our hearts are ignited as we gather with our family members. As we think of the gift that we have today, let us think of the greatest gift of all, and that is Jesus Christ. Be with us. Lead us. Guide us. Amen. Amen. Amen.